welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 249 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my distant friend, Sean Orford, though not that distant today. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good. Very good.
Why aren't you in my office today? Why are we doing this online?
Because I was just crammed full with people that needed to be seen, and I couldn't actually get out of my office to get to you.
I need my free weekly session.
Well, you can always visit me at my place.
That's a good idea. Although, yeah, we did have fun at the weekend at yours. Thanks again for your hospitality. And we'll come back onto that in a sec. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for the show notes and links. If you put your email address in the box, we'll send you weekly alerts for the show. You'll get a discount code for the book that we've done, Live in the Present, and loads of other resources on there as well, which you can access at no cost. Not too shabby. How you doing, Sean, then? You okay?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, good. Yeah, we had fun and games at yours. For those that don't follow me on Instagram, you might have missed that. Yeah, we had a small wall incident, didn't we, with a sticky worm that belonged to one of my little boys. But yeah, it was required a little bit of redecoration, hey, but it's all sorted now.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Three coats of paint later, it's now coming.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ree, for being so understanding and forgiving. But yeah. Yeah, but for the record, it was Sean that picked the highest wall we could find in the stairway.
And the whole, added through it.
With all the force I could muster. good fun. But yeah, have you had a good week otherwise?
Yeah, no, good. Brilliant, yeah.
Busy bee at the moment?
Absolutely bonkers.
Spring's coming though, it's been actually really chilly like the last week or so, but I think, is it starting to affect people that are seeing you for the reasons that are seeing you? Has the season shifted yet?
Not yet. Life used to get quieter in the summer, but of late, last couple of years, it seems to be on full blast most of the time.
Never ending, hey?
There's so much stuff going on, things that change that people are trying to deal with, not least of all my favourite subject, Brexit.
Yeah, we've got an entire nation having a nervous breakdown at the moment, but
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be worthwhile and we'll get there in the end, hey?
Yep, we will.
Right, should we crack on? Because we are talking this week about deception and compulsive lying, actually. Are we not?
No, we're not.
We're not? I'm sure we are. Damn. So how many compulsive liars have you worked with, Sean? And is it an issue you see out there in the world?
Lots and lots. And I think that it's the reverse. We're talking about lying as though it's something bad and wrong. I think everybody lies all the time. I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. It depends on what the lying is about. And so I think that we have negative lies and positive lies.
There are different shades, aren't there? Like my lads will sometimes say, "You're lying, Daddy, you're lying," or it's about what one of the other ones done. And like the word lie is quite an evil, nasty word, whereas like to fib is a bit more easygoing, right, Isn't it? So there's different, it's just a little white lie, a little fib. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Everybody does it.
I think that's the issue of, if we were totally honest with everybody all the time, then society will probably fall apart.
Oh, yeah, there's a great Jim Carrey movie, isn't there? Liar, Liar, from back in the 90s, where he gets, something happens to him. I can't remember actually how, but he can't lie. His life just unravels. It's hilarious, obviously, because it's Jim Carrey, but it's an interesting little lessons in it for sure.
And I think that is real for us all in everyday life. I've been reading a book, which I'll actually talk about in another episode, but it's about how human beings developed. And one of the reasons that modern psychosocial development experts, one of the reasons they think that language developed was through gossiping. It was the need. We couldn't just say, here comes a lion or here comes Fred. We'd have to say things about Fred. And that issue of gossiping gave flavors and colors which developed language. And within that, I think is probably the key to a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today.
Right. Go on, sorry.
No, I was going to say that we have to go back to the issue of the beginning, what happens at the beginning of life. Most people's behaviors, children's behavior, is about getting their needs met. So a child cries to be fed, and the louder a child needs to cry, then the harder it is to get it fed. So that the child might develop other strategies to get their needs met, which might include lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do learn this stuff very early on, don't we? I know I've got, obviously, I'm running a little experiment at the moment, sharing a house with two little weirdos, well, three actually, but two especially little ones. So watching their development and watching how they can learn to start stretching the truth a little bit and get what they want, whether it's through, like you say, squealing. I think they're three and six, so they've both moved past the age where like squealing and crying and doesn't really work. They know that doesn't work anymore, so they've moved on to more sophisticated ways of getting things. So, they know the point that we'll crack at, and we'll just say, "Oh, go on then, Lumenex, just do it." Yeah.
So, if we look at exaggeration, is exaggeration a lie?
There's different, like I say, different shades and different words with different connotations. So, like, exaggeration is all right, isn't it? And fibbing, but is manipulation? That's much more. The word itself is quite cutting, isn't it? And evil.
Yeah, I mean, we just had a really mild winter, but the amount of times I've seen people coming in out of the relative cold, going, "It's absolutely freezing out there. It's horrendous." And no, it's not. No, it's not. It's a bit cold, you know. And it's okay, when people get a cold, how many people say, "I've got the flu"? So I think that when we get into the idea about who lies and who doesn't, I think everybody's doing it.
Yeah, but what causes a certain percentage of people? And in my life, I've known in my whole life maybe two or three people that I would call compulsive liars, not people I know anymore or in my like social group, just people I've kind of come into my life at various stages, and you can just tell, you know, that you can't trust anything they say. So what causes a person to be telling little white lies and stretching the truth a little bit?
I think living a lie. What you got to look at is, what's the payoff? What are they doing? The person that hasn't got a cold, they've got the flu, usually wants to be someone, people to feel sorry for them. They want the attention. They want people to go, "Oh, you poor thing."
Yeah.
And then they want to be looked after. You know, so that if you look at lying in terms of people getting their needs met, you start to get an insight into it. But then if you start to look at, okay, why are certain people telling certain kinds of lies? A con man who's trying to con you out of your savings to give you double glazing or something that you don't need is trying to fulfill their own needs, and their need or their perceived need is to get as much money as they can.
Yeah.
So, and from that point of view, everybody is playing the game, isn't it? It's like, do you know a politician who isn't a liar? I'm sure politicians would be offended by that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, they. I think politicians get a bad rap, to be honest. A lot of them. Obviously, there's a few standout ones, the ones that make the most noise, and the ones that are on the telly all the time.
I think
are the worst offenders, aren't they?
Yeah. But the issue of someone being able to look you in the face and tell you something which sounds totally plausible, and then going and doing something else, doing something opposite to that, which is a classic lie. What about estate agents? I mean, when an estate agent says, "This Bijou residence requires a little improvement," does that mean it's actually falling down? It's got a demolition order on it. And I suppose if we're going to look at who's lying, does that mean that every advertiser is lying? This is the best product in the world. You couldn't do better than this.
Yeah. Well, in the UK, luckily, we have some pretty strong-ish regulation on what you can and can't say about a product. You're not allowed to slate other people's products. I've been to America a couple of times, and I'm quite struck by advertising over there because they're allowed to, or they were in certain states anyway, allowed to mention rival products.
Yep.
So like, they've just been slating each other on telly, and pretty interesting. You can't do that in the UK, and you're not, well, you can stretch the truth a little bit. Like when you're advertising broadband, for example, you can say speeds of up to 70 megaseconds, and then you install it, and it's like 30.
Because someone in one house in one part of the country managed to get to 70.
Yeah, once.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the middle of the night when everyone was asleep.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But do we like to be lied to? Do we like to be sold to and like to have the truth stretched a little bit?
I don't know. If you're somebody who, I don't know, I'm being charitable, maybe is not the most attractive person on the planet, and someone else is telling you how lovely you are, and maybe they're stretching the truth a little bit, does that make you feel better?
Mm.
You know, it's like, I know that I'm 6'6", bronze and muscular. Other people don't see me like that. but am I lying when I say that? Because that's the other thing, is it? It's like, if my perception is complete and I can say, no, this is the way I see the world, everybody else in the world may not see it that way. I'm not actually lying. I'm telling you what I perceive.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously social media over the last 10, 15 years has changed the game a little bit, because I'm sure you'll be the same, but we'll all know people online who present a certain side of themselves, but in reality we know that, well, they're crying themselves to sleep every night and that the truth ain't so rosy. But do they need that perfect version of themselves to keep going, to keep carrying on? Because without that, things would just fall apart.
But apparently they do. I mean, I think that whole idea about when you... for me, as soon as you turn on Facebook, what you're doing is observing a lot of liars. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? But I think that for many, many people, that is the way that it is. But is presenting a positive side of your life or a positive version of your life a lie?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that is, would it? I mean, obviously you're missing out certain aspects, but when you post a photo of something that you're doing or something that's happening right in front of you, you're not, that is 100% truth, isn't it? Obviously what's out of frame behind you or to the side, things you've moved out of the way or decided not to include in that photo.
Okay, so I'm being controversial now. So
go on. Do it.
Is somebody who has Botox and fillers a liar?
Oh, right, okay.
Are they lying about how they look? What happens when the Botox wears off and the fillers run out? What happens? Yeah? And I think this idea about what is truth and what is reality is a really powerful thing that's going on for all of us all the time.
Yep.
And it's our version of reality that we're living with.
Yeah, a lot of what we talk about, you know, in the book and all our shows, that you can create any reality you want, but I guess you need to be careful that you're not, well, burying something away and lying about that other aspect of your life that needs to be confronted. Hey,
but if you think about, okay, what the different ways people would lie. So people would lie to get their needs met, and I think that's probably the most common. Yeah, whether that's positive or negative, then you've got the lying, which is about trying to cover up something that has been done, which is still a form of getting your needs met without being kind of penalized or punished for something that you've done. And then there's the kind of lying, which is the over manipulative sort of con man kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is damaging and
that's
hurtful.
That's like a different order again, isn't it?
Yeah. Because with those kind of things, there's like no remorse really, is there? And there's no hope. But it's more a case of being wise to being able to spot those things, you know, when that dodgy looking email comes in asking for your bank details. It's like you need to learn how to ignore and delete that thing, isn't it? Because yeah, there's no hope for the other person at the other end of the email, really.
No.
Or is there? Maybe. I think I'm sure there's a couple of. Was it James Veitch? He's like a comedian and writer, and he's done a couple of TED Talks where he's kind of taken the audience through the process of his conversation with spam emailers, where someone's tried to get his bank account, and he's struck up this conversation with the with the person that sent the email, and not trying to find out why he did it, but trying to just have a laugh and just play them at their own game, really. So I'll stick those in the show notes and links. But in terms of like compulsive liars in our lives, like friends and family that we know, it's hard to call them out, isn't it, and say they are lying, even if you've got evidence that can prove so, because, I don't know, we don't want to hurt their feelings, do we? There's obviously other underlying issues and reasons why they're doing that. But yeah, what do we do? Do we call them out?
I think that you're into the trying to understand what's going on world, and there may be times when you need to call people out and say, okay, enough's enough. If you've got someone who's a general exaggerator, that doesn't not necessarily a bad thing. That can be quite amusing. when people are using words like horrendous, you know, the weather here is horrendous.
Yeah, so, I am literally freezing.
I'm freezing. No.
Yeah, you can call that out, but is it something that, I mean, for serious compulsive lying, it's like therapy needs to be suggested, or if people are listening to this and things are getting ahead of them, like beyond them, is this something you need to get help for?
Yeah, and when I work with people like that, and I have worked with a few people who have, they've found themselves building their life on lies, and then having the very things that they were trying to get for themselves, which is usually a relationship, fall apart completely. Because what was serving them well in the beginning, because the lies got them what they needed, they couldn't sustain it. So in the end, they're found out and it falls apart. And then there's the remorse and the why did I do that? Or why do I keep doing this? And very often it is going back, finding those earlier situations that people were in. And very often people can identify when they were young, when they lied about something and they got away with it, or they got what they wanted. And there was a part of them that thought, that's a good idea. And then they did it again and then again and then again until it became a habit. It was something that was inbuilt in the system. And we know about habits that it's like being addicted to something. Once you've got that habit going for you, then you're into a completely different world. Because I've actually done this with people. And I mean, anyone that's listening to this, if you just try and spend a couple of days being aware of everything that comes out of your mouth and actually not lying. Mm-hmm. You know, someone says to you, how's your tea? And do you go, oh, it's fine, it's lovely? Or do you go, actually, no, it tastes like donkey's urine? You know, it's like, what do you say? But we're all doing it all the time. And it's actually quite hard. When you play the game, it's actually quite hard to be 100% honest in that sense, because you actually end up becoming insensitive and horrible and nasty and critical, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the standard British response to like a question like, how are you doing? But even the question, how are you? It's not really, people don't really want to know how you are. It's more like, hi, isn't it? Hello.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to know how you're doing or what troubles you've got, because we've all got issues, love.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to change that and work on that a little bit and start being a bit more open, because from experience, you know, it can be hard, can't it, telling the truth and admitting to something. But ultimately, it can be quite, well, it's relieving. It's a huge relief when you've got that weight off your shoulders, isn't it? It can be.
That's another issue that I have to deal with. And you pay your money, you take your choice on this one. Right? I have worked with so many couples where one of them ended up having an affair, maybe as a one-night stand or something. And then they developed a guilt complex about what they'd done and decided that they had to be honest with their partner. So they decide to go and tell their partner. And then the relationship falls apart. Now, the thing that is, like I say, I'm completely non-judgmental about this. It's like if someone did something like that and kept their mouth shut and just didn't say anything and obviously didn't do it again, then, okay, something's happened and the person's learned and it doesn't destroy or damage. But as soon as it becomes that kind of public property within the relationship, it becomes so destructive.
Sometimes keeping these things to ourselves can help as well. So you've got to be cautious about what you share sometimes, yeah, as long as you've learned a lesson from it.
But you're back to that point about, we're talking about lying and honesty, but then the issue isn't just about lying and being dishonest with other people. It's about being honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So in a sense, you can lie to whoever you like, but once you start lying to yourself, that's the ultimate slippery slope, because there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you got results for us, Sean, or anything else you want to talk about?
My thing would be, and this is like kind of a scary resource, but if you can do it, it's fabulous, is to actually go out and get some feedback from other people. And it's like, we don't know how people experience us. We live in a bubble. And on a lot of the groups that we do, we say to people, don't we, you know, give us some feedback. How do you experience me? And that idea about the way I experience you is maybe quite a tough thing to hear sometimes, but it's also a very good thing. It's something that gives you a lot of insight into what it is that's going on for you.
I guess you just got to be wary that what they're saying is true.
But what they're saying is their experience, isn't it?
Does my bum look big in this? The classic, okay.
Yeah. But if I say to everybody, I say I've got a room of 20 people, and I say the way I experience myself is 6'6", bronzed and muscular, and they all roll with laughter, and each of them say, no, the way I experience you is 5'6", getting on, but pretty sexy. You know, that kind of thing. Like, the chance, if they agree, the chances are that they're right and I'm wrong, because I'm biased about the way I am.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to say that I am consciously lying. It's just that I have a bias. Yeah. And I won't know that unless other people give me the feedback.
Say
someone sees themselves as being stupid and ridiculous and ineffective, and then they get feedback from other people that says, well, actually, I don't experience you like that. And it's like, who's right and who's wrong? I think feedback is a powerful way of understanding.
Yeah, be brave. It's a brave one to do that, isn't it? But get some feedback.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And mine, a bit kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I had this idea when we were chatting before we came on air. Imagine you could have, or technology gets us to the point where we have inbuilt lie detectors, like, on, I don't know, contact lenses, or within the technology we use in 1,500 years, goodness knows when. Not actually thinking it would be that positive. Well, maybe it would be, I don't know. Built-in lie detectors. And then I looked online, and sure enough, there's lie detector apps in the App Store for the iPhone. I'm sure there will be for Android as well.
I wonder how accurate they are, because I'm imagining a couple where one accuses the other one of something, and they start arguing about it. So someone whips out the phone and says, okay, take the lie detector test. And then, if that lie detector says it's not accurate, it could create havoc.
Exactly. Well, I know. Well, havoc has been created, hasn't it, by these the digital worlds we've created already. So I'm not super confident that we're gonna like see any kind of easing of tensions and turmoil in the world in the next 20, 30, 40 years, because I think technology will just keep rolling on and forcing us to look at ourselves in the mirror, hey, and be true. who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I haven't downloaded any of those lie detector apps yet, but I will do. I suggest everyone has a little play with them, but maybe.
Yeah, I think we need to have a go, don't we?
So don't take them too seriously, but yeah, it's worth having a go. Bit of fun, so, I think.
So if I say I'm 6'6", bronzed and muscular, and then put my finger on it, what would it say?
The magic 8-ball says, yeah, get away.
I'll say, I agree.
Right, cool. Happy, Sean?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm always happy.
Yeah. Right, we'll crack on. livingthepresent.co.uk for the website, show notes and links. There's a few that I didn't mention then, but that I'm going to put in anyway. About there's a great website, truthaboutdeception.com. There's a couple of links that I think are well worth reading on this topic. And we'll be back next week, won't we, Sean, for more fun and games?
I'll put together a blog for this episode.
Of course, I forgot all about that. Yeah, that'll be online as well at the same time. How could I? It's my highlight of my week. Yeah. Honest. Right, Sean, I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, keep smiling.
You too. See you later, everyone.
Bye now. Bye.
Bye.